Blog Talk Radio.
Terminal, Terminal fans, welcome to the show here on another Sunday afternoon. Some show notes if you are looking for some wrestling today. You have tonight, actually ongoing, still in effect, WCWC in Salem, Oregon. They've been going for many, many hours now. They still have a few more hours in this 25-hour wrestling marathon at WCWC. Also tonight, you have live pro wrestling in McMinnville, Tennessee, and Blue Collar Wrestling, where I make my return tonight. I will be back at Blue Collar. There's some signed guy shirts still available, limited supply, so make sure you pick one up, suitable for all of your gift-giving needs this holiday season. And once you get to the building, it'll probably be sundown, which means Hanukkah starts. What better way to celebrate Hanukkah than to get someone a Sun Guy shirt? Also, tonight in Indianapolis, Indiana, at 1151 South Kentucky Avenue, the Young Guns Tournament. Do or Die Wrestling presenting the Young Guns Tournament at the Outlaw Arena. That should be an outstanding tournament. Tons of great talent. So make sure you get out there and support them. QT, we are still waiting on our guest, who I believe is at the aforementioned WCWC Marathon. Hopefully he's not in the ring at the moment.
Oh, okay. But, sign guy, I know a slightly better way to spend Hanukkah than to buy your shirt. It'd be to buy a Casey Carlisle shirt.
I can't argue with that.
Yes.
A bit.
And to tie a good time, if I bought your shirt, I know a tie that would happen. And that would be if I bought a Buddy Highway shirt.
Yeah, I guess I could see that too.
Yes, it would come down to a coin flip.
You really are into coin flips these days.
That's true, yes. Can you tell our listeners that of a possible deal that I am working with Tex Thompson about a coin flip? This could be revolutionary. I'm always trying to search for revolutionary ways to expand wrestling. Can you tell our listeners?
I believe your premise is there will be a coin flip at the start of the match. The loser of the coin flip then has the official be completely biased against him for the remainder of the match.
Biased refing, yes, that's something. Yes. I've got to work.
I'm not
I've
sure the wrestlers would agree with that, though. I think they might have a mutiny against Tex Thompson if he incorporated that. And he'll say, don't look at me, it was QT's idea. And they might get together and they might take turns sidewalk slamming you.
Well, I'll have to kind of refine what exactly I want with a coin flip, yes. Maybe it could have something to do with a bell ringer or something.
Oh, so now you're throwing the ding, ding, ding kid under the bus. You want to get him in trouble again. I almost fired him once.
Now, you know, I'd really like to see a match between the ding, ding, ding kid and Darth Carter.
I don't know who to cheer for in that.
Well, hence the coin flip.
Well,
yes.
Then I would have to be biased against someone if I officiated it, right?
Well, I guess so. I know Darth Carter may have been softened up slightly from a choke slam from Jackson Price. Do you think if we were to hold this match within the next 24 hours that the Ding 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 Kid would have a slight advantage? Is Darth Carter still feeling the effects of the choke slam from Jackson Price?
Well, as you learned on Friday, there was no choke slam from Jackson Price. He teased it and then decided it wasn't worth his effort to even choke slam him, so he just dropped him like a hot potato.
Well, yes, but how did he drop him? And was it from 6'7" in height?
It was at least 6'7", and he dropped him like a hot potato. I just said that.
Well, did he have him in a sidewalk slam position and then just decided to drop him?
No, a choke slam position.
Oh, okay. Choke slam
okay.
position. Oh, yeah, okay.
Deliver the choke slam and then said it wasn't worth his time and he just dropped him.
Oh, all right. So the G-forces on Darth Carter may not have been what they could have been, the G-forces.
Possibly.
Oh, okay. Now, do you believe Carter, because he doesn't have any entrance music, will now adopt the song Drop It Like It's Hot?
He does have entrance music. He stole mine for the longest of times. And then when he was on a show where Dice Man Ronnie Vegas was there and prepared to slaughter him, he switched it to E.T. by Katy Perry, I believe.
Oh, wow, okay. Well, I wasn't there for the Dice Man Darth Carter matchup, and I did not hear of said music.
Well, they didn't actually wrestle, but Dice would have slaughtered him if Darth Carter came out to that. Would have slaughtered him. Guaranteed.
Are there any plans
in 2019? To the music when he comes out every time. He usually comes out to something.
Well, usually I have only seen Darth Carter with the exception of that MMA fight that he – well, no, he wasn't in an MMA fight. Scratch that. I've only seen pretty much Darth Carter at La Problemita's in Bremerton, Washington. And you know how noisy that restaurant gets. Yes.
Yeah, but still, usually he comes out to something, but no. I thought you were his biggest fan. You don't even know his entrance music.
Well, I am now going to work very closely with the Darth to get him the movie Drop It Like It's Hot from Coolio.
Okay, is Coolio your all-time favorite musician?
Well, I think it's from Coolio. It could be from that other rapper.
Which one? I think it's more than two.
Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yes, Snoop Dogg. I'll try to ask Snoop Dogg's permission to get Darth Carter to have that music Drop It Like It's Hot. Yes.
All right.
That and work with Tex Thompson on the coin flip. Yes.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to do that.
Oh, okay. Probably not. Boy, that's rough. Okay. Well, now, Sun Guy, who might be in action tonight later on at Blue Collar Wrestling? Have you got word through the grapevine?
You have Lance Dean versus Darkness. You have versus Jimmy Boy. And in your main event, the Moonshiners defend their tag team titles against Wonderfully Vicious.
Boy, those Moonshiners sure travel a lot. Yes.
They really do, and there's a lot of them.
Wow. Now, to your knowledge, have the Moonshiners seen the most recent edition of the Sign of the Times episode 355?
I cannot confirm or deny.
Wow. Well, that 355 is a groundbreaker. In fact, that Sign of the Times number 355 is about the same yardage that Baker Mayfield passed today. He had 340 yards passing by the time I switched off my computer.
I see.
340 versus 355, and they scored a touchdown, So he had one touchdown pass and three interceptions. Now, the other team was probably just going to run out the time clock because they had about 3 minutes left when Cleveland scored. But I would like to think that Baker Mayfield has had another shot, maybe with about 1 minute remaining, and he got those 355 yards, matching of the sign of the times.
Now, QT, that coffee that was in the Sign of the Times episode 355, it really was mediocre. It really was.
I see. Now, where did you get said coffee? It wasn't at Burger King, was it?
It was.
Really? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, that's a stunner. I've always thought Burger King coffee was kind of, I don't know, acidic and bitter and at the same time bland, if you can accomplish that. Acidic,
well,
bitter, and bland.
It was that when they used the Seattle Best coffee as their coffee. They switched back and forth several times between brands. Anytime it was Seattle Best, that's a great way to describe it. But to my knowledge, they were still serving their house blend, the Burger King house blend. It just was kind of mediocre this time.
Wow. All right. Okay. Now, Sign Guy, maybe a week ago or 2 weeks ago, I was telling you a story about Tom Petty and how he discovered the perfect cup of coffee. Do you remember this?
Yes.
Oh. Wow. Okay. Very nice. Okay. In the short condensed version, he travels up the West Coast Highway, walks into a diner. He gets a tour of the kitchen. There is a bun coffee maker involved. Tom Petty purchases two bun coffee makers for his own house, taps them into his water supply, of course, in his house, and he uses regular, I believe it was Folgers Mountain Drip.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Folgers at all. It's the dirt worst.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe somehow Tom Petty tapped into a good supply of Folgers or whatever I said. What did I say? Juan Valdez and his donkey? That kind of coffee? That's Columbia coffee,
Folgers.
Isn't it? Oh, okay.
I believe our guest is joining us, too. Let's check this out. Do we have Max
Burnside?
Oh,
we were doing so good, though. Yes.
Do we have
Hello,
how's it going?
Not too bad. How
oh, there's
you
Max.
Doing fairly well. Welcome back to the show. I know you have been busy the last several hours there in Salem. Am I correct?
You are very correct. I am very exhausted. I wrestled about, if I had to put a number on it, because I don't know exactly quite yet. I probably wrestled in between 7 to 12 matches. So I got to definitely get my butt whipped out there, so.
That is a long night at the office for sure, but I know all the wrestlers there at WCWC look forward to this event every year. It's a unique event, 25 hours of continual wrestling. Can you tell us a little bit about what went into the preparation to make sure you were physically ready for this type of endurance?
Well, even as much work as I did to make sure that I was prepared for this weekend, eating right, going to the gym, because last year when I competed in the Hunger Slam, by the end of it, I was so sore and so stiff that I couldn't even move for a few days afterwards, and so I knew that I didn't do anything in preparation correctly, so this time I went to the gym, I always go to the gym, but this time I made sure I went to the gym before Hunger Slam, and there's not much you can do mentally besides show up, so it's all pretty much just physical.
Well, besides the WCWC event, one of the things that has been going on in your career since you have last joined us, and probably for at least the last year or so, as you've been in a constant war with Daifula Dabashi. It's gone back and forth. It has spanned many promotions now. Can you tell us what sparked this bitter war between yourself and the Yemenian maniac, Daifula the Butcher Dabashi?
Well, that crazy bastard Dabashi thought it'd be really funny to show up at an event that I was wrestling at. And I mind you, it originally started at last year's Hunger Slam. I beat Daifula Dabashi for his UIWA F the Rules title, which is a 24/7 rule title. So I beat him last year, and then ever since then, of course, like anybody would, he's been angry and wanting revenge. So after Hunger Slam, I hadn't heard a word from Dabashi in months. All of a sudden, he shows up at a promotion I was wrestling at in Washington and causes an entire ruckus to the point to where cops were called. Somebody said and mentioned that there was a gun in a glove box. It was a pretty crazy scene. So at that point, I wasn't playing it around anymore. So I had challenged Dabashi numerous times, beat him twice before. But then after beating him, he, being the sneaky guy he is, knew that I was going to be in a more weakened state after wrestling and defending my Combat Pro Wrestling Cruiserweight title. After wrestling Phoenix Kid, he comes from behind and attacks me and chokes me out and takes the UIWA after rules title back. So you could say that this rivalry that's been going on for a year has all been over a title, but it's now been more than a title. So I also haven't heard from him in a little bit, so I have no idea what that crazy lunatic is up to nowadays. So as far as Dabashi is concerned, he could just keep his distance.
Now, Dabashi at the last CPW show added a member to the World Powers. He is now teaming up with Steve Miggs. What did you think of Dabashi's choice of partners in adding Steve Miggs to the World Powers?
Well, I mean, at least he picked somebody who, you know, who's somewhat popular and can actually get on the mic and talk. So I'm not really surprised that he picked somebody like Miggs, but at the same time, I'm also surprised that he didn't call his boys Petrov or Chief down, because, you know, those were the first guys that I were looking for, you know, after knowing that he was there. I was definitely head on a swivel looking for Petrov and Chief, his original World Power buddy.
One of the things throughout your short career so far that a lot of fans might have noticed, you tend to go back and forth a lot on tag teams and singles. You've been in a number of tag teams so far, most notably the I-5 Insurgents. And then, of course, you've had a lot of singles matches as well. Do you tend to have a preference when it comes to tag team wrestling versus singles wrestling?
No. And when it comes to, you know, tag team wrestling, one of my best friends and good buddies in this business, Robert Von Ludwig, needed a partner, and he needed a tag up to take care of some guys. And, you know, we took care of them one show. The next thing you know, we were tagging all up and down the Northwest. So, no, I don't really have a preference in singles or tags, but I know Von Ludwig's been doing a lot of powerlifting competitions and stuff. So he's been working his butt off in other aspects. That way, he could look even more jacked when he gets back in the wrestling ring. So.
Like we said, you've been to a number of different promotions. You get out there and travel quite a bit up and down the I-5 corridor. You have been introduced to the ring by a great number of ring announcers, and on the independent circuit, ring announcers can vary greatly. There's some really fantastic ones out there, and then some are kind of thrust into the job without a lot of experience or know-how, and it comes off that way. If there are promoters out there listening right now that are looking for ring announcers, who are some of the better ones you've come across that you would most recommend that people look up and try to hire?
Well, first one that comes to mind is Turnbuckle Tomorrow's own, Dimitri Bell. I mean, he does CPWs, and every time his voice is booming on the mic, no matter who is coming out, one of my favorite things that he has done is he's almost created, you know, nicknames for people as they come out because, you know, he sees a certain persona. I'll give a good example. He called out Tectonic to the ring, and he called him the World Breaker. And so ever since then, Tectonic got some, you know, he got some awesome merchandise with him ripping a world in half. So if I'm going to choose a ring announcer, it'd be somebody like Dimitri who's able to take somebody and make them even more of a huge figure, because that's exactly what they're supposed to do, is make everybody who comes out of the curtain larger than life.
I cannot argue with you there, for sure. Dimitri's extremely good at what he does. He's also licensed in the state of Washington, folks. You won't find very many independent ring announcers that have their ring announcer license.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how versed you are in this per se, but over the course of time, there have been a number of motion pictures that have come out based upon professional wrestling, some very well made, some that are the dirt worst of movies of any genre. If you've seen some wrestling movies, what would you say are a couple of the really good ones that fans should seek out and make sure that they watch?
Well, number one would definitely be The Wrestler with Mickey Rourke. I mean, I watched it once, and it's so intense that, you know, it's just so heart-wrenching. It's, you know, it's the story of what we're trying to do in this business is very, very well told in that movie. So if any fan wants to know exactly what it means to be a professional wrestler, that movie is the personification of it. Another movie that comes to mind, of course, but it's more of a funny movie, but it's another reason why we love wrestling. It's, of course, Nacho Libre with Jack Black, which it's another awesome story about somebody who has got a life outside of wrestling, who's trying to make it inside wrestling. So funny shtick or not, it tells a good story about somebody who's trying to make it as a professional wrestler.
Now, I don't know if you were aware of it, Nacho Libre also based upon a real story that took place.
It did, yes.
Well, we have hit the point of the show where we have a game we like to play called Word Association. I believe you have done this before. I will throw out the names of some people that you most likely have come across in your career, and the first word or two that pops to mind is the answer. Are you prepared for a round of Word Association?
I am prepared.
Here we go. Roy Lovejoy.
Roy Lovejoy. Despicable.
Yvonne Sieber.
Oh. Hashtag Team Yvonne. I know it's all one word.
Paul Moonshine.
Paul Moonshine. Getting a little bit too old to take some bumps. I know that's a little bit more than one word, but every time I see him, he's always on the ground, and he's always scaring me. So, no more bumps.
Diafula Dabashi.
Ah, psycho.
Darth Carter.
Darth Carter. The drizzling crap.
Jackson.
Say that one more time.
Jackson Price.
Jackson Price. Ooh. He's a scary guy, but I feel like I understand him. So, scary.
C.J. Edwards.
C.J. Edwards, competitive.
Paul Preston.
Paul Preston. Interesting.
Sarah Irene.
Also interesting.
The final one, Tectonic.
Tectonic. Woo. World breaker.
Okay, that concludes word association. And right now, my co-host QT is with us, and I'm sure he has some questions. So, Des, help you as I pass things along to QT.
All right.
Well, thanks, Sangai. Welcome back, Max.
Thanks for having me.
Max, I'd like to expand on Sangai's word association, if I might. How about Dr. Cleaver?
All right. Dr. Cleaver. That's an interesting one. Somebody who's been around in this business a while.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Doc Cleaver, weird.
Oh, weird. Okay, weird. All right, very good. I myself was going with beef pot pie.
Beef
okay.
pot pie.
Yes.
That's a good one, too.
Okay, how about Jake Jekyll?
Jake Jekyll. Wish I knew more about them.
Okay. I'll just put down mystery for your reply. Mystery. Okay.
Mystery.
Yes. How about Sunny Days?
Sunny Days. Grapper.
Okay. How about Tyson Tank?
Tyson Tank. Smush.
Okay. And the last one, Rockin' Ricky Gibson.
Rockin' Ricky Gibson. Wow. He's kind of cocky. He's got every right to be.
Did you say well-versed?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Very good. Very good. Okay. All right. Well, Max, we learned on this past Friday that Jackson Price had or has size 18 shoes or boots. And when he was wrestling Darth Carter at La Prablanita's, he was up against a wrestler who most likely had a shoe size that was 8 sizes smaller than his. What do you think Jackson Price would feel if he ever stepped into the ring with Hakeem Olajuwon, who has size 20.5-inch shoes?
I think he'd feel... There's not too many people as big as Jackson Price, so for somebody like Olajuwon to be in the same ring, and if Jackson Price isn't feeling some sort of fear, he'd almost be lying.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay. Now, speaking of Jackson Price, who has been the tallest wrestler you have faced in the ring?
Tallest wrestler I have faced in the ring.
Yeah.
Big Vicious.
Have you ever been in the ring with Odwin the Viking? Odwin the Viking.
No, but I've heard some great things about him.
Yes. I believe he comes from Utah. Utah, yes.
Yes.
Or is it Nevada?
I think he visits Utah quite a bit. I think he's in Nevada.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Max.
He's riding with Aiden Reyes and them, so.
Oh, Aiden Reyes, yes. That's another wrestler that I forgot about word association. What would you say? What's the first word that pops in your mind when I mention Aiden Reyes? Aiden Reyes.
Travels. That guy gets around and in a good way.
Are there any truths to the rumors that he once ate a smeared cake off a wrestling match? Matt. a smeared cake that was thrown at him?
Well, this last CPW show, it was the 2-year anniversary, and there was cake involved. So I'm not going to say yes, and I'm not going to say no.
Are you a huge fan of Jack the Snack, the wrestler that passes out hostess, hostess ding dongs to the crowd?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Max, it is well documented that the Honky Tonk Man and sometimes Jeff Jarrett would hit their opponents with guitars. The guitar itself is a symbol of revolt. When one looks at Johnny Ramone's blue Mosrite guitar, they get a different feeling as compared when they look at the solid white Fender Stratocaster used by Jimi Hendrix. My question is, do you foresee a groundbreaking moment in WWE history on Monday Night Raw when a diva will bring a male wrestler to his knees by hitting them with an oboe, or a French horn?
Well, if anybody's going to get hit with it, it's got to be Elias. But the
It'll
question
be who?
Is, Elias, the guy who has a guitar every Monday night. So I can imagine somebody, the question is, I wouldn't know who that person would be that would bring him down to his knees with the elbow. So if I were to guess, or who I would love for it to be, it'd be Nikki Cross, because that lady is psycho and awesome.
Wow, okay, good answer. All right, very nice. Okay. Well, Max, were you there at La Problemita's when Sign Guy fed Diafola Debashi a shredded pork taco at La Problemita's? Were you there?
Probably not, because if I was there at the same time that Debashi was, we might have been throwing fists at each other.
Oh, okay. Well, I believe after the show, Sign Guy can fill you in on the particular details of what went down when he tricked Diafola Debashi into eating a shredded pork taco. Yes.
Uh-oh.
It was one of the more iconic moments in La Problemita's history.
We all know some awesome stuff has happened at La Problemita.
I hear that, yes. Yes. And speaking of which, they have an event coming up, I believe, December 15th. Are you going to be there?
I am unfortunately not going to be there, no.
Oh, okay. Can you tell us about your whereabouts right in the middle of the month of December, December 15th, where you might be?
Well, I'm actually going to be taking the rest of the month off just so I can focus on more training, get more in the gym so I can do some more traveling in 2019. So January 19th is my first booking in the new year at CPW. So other than that, I'm just trying to focus on getting my body a little bit better so that way I can continue taking brutal hits.
All right, okay. Well, since that frees up your December calendar a little bit, will there be any truth to the rumors that you may be contacting Sign Guy to get in a Sign of the Times a Christmas festive edition where Sign Guy will wear his iconic mouse-eating pizza sweatshirt?
Okay.
Well, are there any plans that you hope to get into a Sign of the Times where he wears said T-shirt?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. Oh, that'd be great. Maybe we will see Max Burnside in Sign of the Times episode 356 or 357.
Hopefully so.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Max, I'm always trying to revolutionize the sport of pro wrestling. For instance, I've been in Direx Thompson to build a plywood ramp covered with shredded rubber tires, thus providing a pole vault runway so the wrestlers can have three tries to clear the top rope in a pole vault wrestling hybrid sport. My question is, do you see a future where the combined sports of track and do you see a future when a referee coin flip is used in wrestling, say for a stipulation match, a referee coin flip?
Actually, yes. I do see that.
Oh, okay. Well, what would be the stipulations, though?
Well, I think, like, heads or tails. So a loser would have to start in a very precarious situation or a position. So almost like a real mat wrestling where they flip the coin to see who starts out on top and who starts out on bottom, but except maybe have it a little bit more interesting, like handcuffs to the top rope for the first 30 minutes, the first 30 seconds to a minute in your match. I mean, something as simple as that to kind of add a little bit more enticement to the revolution of pro wrestling.
All right, okay. Could you see Dimitri himself starting this revolution and have Dimitri himself throw out the first turnbuckle turmoil ceremonial coin flip and then saving that coin for maybe a Northwest sports wrestling entertainment Hall of Fame, a Dimitri coin flip?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
There's awesome companies that can make pretty awesome custom coins too, so keep that in mind.
Ooh, wow. All right. I'll have to look into that. Okay. Well, Max, we usually start out our second half of the show with a standard question. Well, I usually do that, but I kind of saved it to now. And that standard question is, what's the hardest knife edge chop you've received in the ring? I'm going to dovetail that question into the one where I saw your YouTube video where you wrestled Diafola Dabashi this past spring in Bremerton, and at one point in the match, kind of early on, you ducked a knife-edge chop from the Diafola Dabashi, and his hand hit the ring post in what would have been a devastating chop. Do you recall the knife-edge chop that Diafola Dabashi missed?
I do. I'm glad I ducked.
Yes. I thought I had heard the crack of a metatarsal bone in his hand.
Yeah.
Metatarsal.
Probably did.
Yes. Oh, okay. Well, Max, do you recall why Sunny Days had to bail out of the ring in a role as in referee in this match?
If I remember right, she was actually facing Sarah Irene in a match. I may be wrong on that. She was wrestling prior to that, and so what had happened was Dabashi and I crossed paths in the hallway making our way to the venue, and we couldn't wait until the bell rang, so we decided to start brawling, not even wait for announcements. So I mean, she had to get out before getting tumbled by Dabashi and I rolling around punching each other in the face.
Wow, all right. That was the reason. Okay, very good. Okay, all right. All right, well, Max, every good wrestler worth his salt knows about the Andy Kaufman and Jerry Lawler feud, especially when Andy Kaufman appeared on the David Letterman show in a neck brace. My question is, if a bunch of Northwest wrestlers decided to get together and put on a play that is about the Andy Kaufman-Jerry Lawler feud, who would you see as the top three candidates in consideration for the role of Andy Kaufman?
Ooh, Northwest talent who can play Andy Kaufman. First guy that comes to mind is Steve West, 3-2-1 Battle Mainstay. That guy would probably knock that role out of the park.
Okay. Oh, all right. Very good choice.
Yeah.
All right. How about the role of Jerry the King Lawler?
Jerry the King Lawler? Well, he'd have to grow some hair, but I could see somebody like Christopher Rysak playing Jerry the King Lawler.
Oh, Christopher Rysak. Okay, solid choice. The role of David Letterman.
The role of David Letterman. Marty Lipschitz. Booker for Dusty.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Okay. Well, Max, can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners what your entrance music is?
My entrance music is actually a song by the band August Burns Red, and the song is called Meridia.
Meridia. Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. All right. Max, would you give the staff of Turnbuckle Turmoil permission to conduct a Facebook contest to give you the first Northwest wrestler a Cheap Trick song as your entrance music? Maybe something off their album Live from Budokan. Would you give us a chance to conduct a contest?
As long as Dream Police is one of the choices for a song.
Whoa, Dream Police, very good choice. Okay. This would be like a one-time event, and then you could go back to your Meridian.
Who knows? I may change it if it's good, you know, if the crowd likes it. I would keep it. I love Cheap Trick.
Wow, all right. Okay, I'll get together with Sign Guy on this project. Okay, he'll look forward to that. Okay. All right. Well, Max, we mentioned Jackson Price earlier in the show, and on Friday, as most wrestlers, he plans on donating some canned goods at a Northwest Holiday Season Wrestling Match canned food event. However, Jackson said it would definitely not be two number 10 cans of Dinty Moore beef stew. My question is, are you yourself going to – oh, okay, you're not going to be at a canned food drive this month.
I was actually just at the Hunger Slam in which food was donated.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I don't think Jackson is a big fan of Dinty Moore beef stew. I don't think anyone is.
I don't think he is. No, not enough protein.
Yes, not enough protein, that's right. Okay. Well, Max, in the history of using cowbell in rock and roll, three classics stand out. They are Time Has Come Today by the Chamber Brothers, I Heard It Through the Grapevine by Creedence Clearwater Revival, and Don't Fear the Reaper by Blue Oyster Cult. Of all these songs, the ones you won't hear on your standard radio format, because of their extended versions. Have you ever participated in a cowbell on a rope match? That's what I was getting to.
No, unfortunately, I have not yet. But yesterday, last night, I was a lumberjack while Ricky Gibson faced Troy Prescott in a cowbell on a bull rope match.
Oh, okay. Cowbell on a bull rope match. Okay. Wow. All right. Are you a big fan of In a Gata Da Vida That Has No Cowbell by the Iron Butterfly?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Have you ever seen the Simpsons episode where Bart Simpson, he switches the music selection on the music, how would you say that, wooden music selector in his church, and the pastor in the show says, and now we have a special treat by Iron Butterfly. And the organ lady has to play the extended version of In a Gata Da Vida and all the church congregation is singing along, and it lasts like 15 minutes, and at the end, the organ lady collapses in exhaustion. Have you seen this episode?
I have not, but I would now want to watch this episode.
Okay, I highly recommend you look up Inagata DeVita, Church Lady Simpsons on YouTube.
I'm going to when I get home.
Yes, I'd also like to recommend that if Diafula Debashi is listening, to view that. It might get some sunny disposition into him and maybe have him crack a smile.
Maybe. I don't know. It'd be hard to get that guy to crack a smile, though.
Yes. Oh, okay. Well, at this time, I'm going to switch it back over to Sign Guy. And I do hope, Max, that someday some Northwest promoter will take my suggestion about a pole vault runway, and we can see you in a pole vault with a pole vault pole trying to clear the top rope in a hybrid combination of track and field and wrestling.
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. Very good. Back to you, Sangha.
Thank you, QT. Well, Max, we know that the feud with Diafula Debashi is ongoing, and you know I made the mistake, honest mistake, of giving him a pork taco by accident, I'm sure. You know, he was very harsh with me afterwards and may have sliced my head wide open with a beer bottle. It was an honest mistake. But do you have any type of plan in place to counter Debashi's last attack on you? I know you didn't really interact a whole lot this past CPW show, but the one before it, there was a couple of instances where the two of you were just going at it tooth and nail. Do you have a next step in mind for this feud?
Well, I always like to say that anticipation is half the battle. So anticipating what I'm going to do and how I'm going to do it is making me anxious to execute the plan. So without giving away too much, I definitely plan on trying to catch Debashi by surprise, that's for sure. But how I'm going to do that is going to be the real question.
Now, looking at the landscape of things on the independent circuit, it's never been a better time, in my opinion, to be in independent wrestling. A lot more of us than ever before making full-time livings in independent wrestling. There seems to be more opportunities for people. Companies continue to grow and make profits at this point. Where do you see the future of independent wrestling in the next couple of years? Do you think that things are going to slow down, or do you see them rising, or do you think that they'll continue to hold at this type of level?
Well, I'm hoping that somebody starts the company that is being rumored to be started, the All Elite Wrestling, by Chris Jericho and Jim Ross, because then it would give WWE a run for their money, since WCW, and which means WWE, well, they have already started swooping up a lot of top independent talent before the All Elite Wrestling becomes official. So 2019 is going to be a year where divisions are opening up and spots are available, which means that guys that are working towards wanting to be at the top at any promotion can now have the best opportunity to showcase why that they would be the best. So I see a huge insurgence in, no pun intended, a huge insurgence in the independent pro wrestling scene. And I'm hoping that it picks up a lot more in the Northwest too, because it can be known for a little bit of a dead zone. It's easier to look at footage in different regions of the country. So I'm hoping that with what's happening right now in independent wrestling, everybody's kind of working more together than they have been before, It seems like, politics are politics, but it seems like nowadays people are, have one goal, and that's make wrestling great again. And doing that, I think, is going to start with a new big promotional wrestling company. So I think it's going to be a huge surge in independent pro wrestling, for sure.
I mentioned at the top of the show that there is a major tournament happening today in Indianapolis. It's the annual Young Guns Tournament at the Outlaw Arena. I was at the Outlaw Arena just a month ago and saw most of the talent there. I was already familiar with most of them. Some of the greatest young talent anywhere. Granted, most of them are in the Midwest, but I would put them against any young talent anywhere in the country. Phenomenal tournament set up today. It should be fantastic. Have you been following things like this Young Guns tournament and others like it that feature guys that are still early in their careers, still young men that might be of interest to you since you're right around the same experience and age level as a lot of the people in the Young Guns tournament?
Yeah, the Young Guns tournament is something that I've been actually looking in. Of course, Ring of Honor's top prospect, even though it's more of kind of that established wrestlers, it's always, it's always a goal. But there's also the Gold Rush tournament down in California at VF3 production, rest in peace, Virgil. I'm actually a huge fan. I was actually just in the Grappler Cup tournament. Unfortunately, my opponent, tough guy, gave him everything I got. But when a guy hits his finisher and it hurts, there's not much you can do about it. So, I'm actually looking forward to hopefully participating in some more tournaments like that this year.
I happen to know the organizers of that tournament, so if you need a reference, I got you.
I appreciate that.
Well, we're down to the last few minutes of the show, and I want to make sure that you have plenty of time, so if there's anything you would like to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything and everything, upcoming shows, merchandise, social medias, your favorite barbershop, anything in the world, floor is all yours.
All right. Well, first of all, thanks for having me on the show again. It's always a pleasure. Shout out to Combat Pro Wrestling. Shout out to West Coast Wrestling Connection for this last weekend. It's always fun. Let's see here. If you guys are on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, please go ahead and follow me at Max Burnside PNW. And that's the same handle for all three of the social media sites. I will be taking the rest of the month off, which is pretty crazy, so I'm trying to stay as home as possible. But January 19th, I believe the date is, for Combat Pro Wrestling at the what we're calling the Combat Cathedral Coffee House in Marysville, Washington. Just keep on the lookout for me and my face. It's gonna be as many places that I can try and get it. It's a brand new year. It's a brand new scene is what it seems like with companies keeping up top talent. So my eyes is on the prize, and I'm hoping that people will follow along as I make this journey. So thanks again for everyone who's listening, and thanks again, Simon Guy, for having me on the show.
Always our pleasure to have you on here, and I'm sure I will see you next month in Marysville. Fans, if you've not checked out Max Burnside before, you definitely want to do so. Great up-and-coming talent. Continues to get better each time out. He might be at next year's Young Guns tournament there at the Outlaw Arena. We'll have to wait and see. But definitely search him out. Support what he does. We will be back with you next week. Friday, we'll have Scarecrow back on the program. First time in a long time he's been with us. And a week from today, Tommy Celsius will be joining us. So get out there, support your local independents. You can find me at the North Portland Eagles today. You can buy a Sign Guy shirt. What a better Hanukkah gift than a Sign Guy shirt. It'd be perfect for all your Hanukkah needs. So come buy a shirt, watch some great wrestling. Wherever wrestling near you, definitely get out there and support that. If you're in Indianapolis, the Young Guns Tournament's going to be absolutely phenomenal, guarantee you that. We'll be back with you next week, and thanks for tuning in today.